Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host as usual. Today, I have returning to the podcast, Nakia Gray. If that name sounds familiar, you might remember her from way on back on episode number 6 when we talked about, she was one of the first attorneys on this podcast that we talked about having a virtual office. And she had just embarked on her solo practice at the time and was going all virtual. Now things have changed. She's grown to the extent that, as you will hear, that she's added a brick and mortar location, but she's a delightful speaker. And one of the reasons that I wanted to have her back is just that, because she's such a great speaker and she does a lot of speaking engagements around the area. And I wanted to talk to her about using speaking engagements and online presentations as a vehicle for branding and marketing your law firm. So we're going to spend the next few minutes talking about just that. And I hope you enjoy the conversation with Nakia Gray. Nakia Gray, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you. It is great to be back.
Yeah, I'm delighted that you can make the time to be with us today. When I read your bio, I get so tired listening and looking at all that you do. You're such a busy person. You know, if James Brown was the hardest working man in show business, I got to say Nakia Gray has to be the hardest working woman in law. You know, I'm exhausted.
It is true. You're right. I cannot say that I disagree with you. I have a lot going on.
Well, tell our audience a little bit about yourself for those who weren't with us last time and how you came to be where you are today.
Absolutely. So I've been practicing since 2012, actually, got admitted to the Maryland Bar. And against the advice of every single person that I knew, I started my own practice right out of law school. And had really kind of like a general practice doing family, criminal, and estate planning. And then about a year later, I joined a fairly nice-sized firm in Maryland. And I stayed there for about 8 years. So I did mostly family during that time and really was a heavy, heavy litigation practice. And as my kids started to get older, my husband and I really made this decision for me to homeschool our daughter, who's our oldest. And I knew that I could not possibly do that, staying at the firm and having this litigation practice. So I left the firm in 2015. I started this virtual law practice, completely ditched family law and just reshifted and rebranded myself and started doing business, entertainment, and copyrights and trademarks, which really allowed me to fully work virtually. And so that was fantastic. And so I've just celebrated my 3-year firmversary with my second go round at solo practice. And these 3 years, I cannot even tell you, have literally just been crazy busy. So much has changed even in 3 years. My team has grown tremendously. And so I really am accepting that that my purpose in life is so much bigger than just to be a solo practitioner who serves, you know, a few clients. So I'm really building a firm. And that's exciting, but that's also a lot of work. It's scary. I'm having to, allow myself to be just the managing partner and to have people in place to actually do a lot of the work. And so that's kind of my theme for 2018, is just really understanding that, and understanding that to be a boss doesn't mean you have to do all the work. It means you have to hire the right people to do the things that they're really good at. And so it's been, you know, it's a mindset shift, and it's just really different. It's exciting.
As a lot of people say, it's the difference between working on your business as opposed to working in your business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so on our pre-call chat, I think you were saying that now you've started adding some staff, and have actually, in addition to your virtual practice, you now actually have a brick and mortar kind of location.
Yes, exactly. So
there's no headaches with that.
No, of course not. That's the easy part, right?
Right.
So exactly. So that is different. My daughter is now in college, so I successfully homeschooled her for 3 years, and she went off to school, and I went off to an office. And so I've got a space, more so because I needed my staff to have like a hub where everybody comes every day, and so people know what's going on. Although we don't do a lot of client meetings, but this is really the space where we all put our heads together, we work, and we do that kind of thing. And I still have quite a bit of virtual staff as well for different parts to my business.
Now, I don't want you to just kind of gloss over that statement that you kind of casually threw out, that my daughter went off to college, and because I happen to know she went off to college with great fanfare and has had a tremendous freshman year as a starting point guard for the University of Miami Hurricanes women's basketball team. So let's plug that in there. Their tournament starts today.
Today is the watch day. So we find out tonight where they will be in the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
But it has been the most exciting thing I've ever experienced in my life. Seriously. Like, her freshman year has just been, you know, I was preparing her. She's always been really good at basketball, but I had lots of talks with her before we sent her off to say, you know, just get prepared. You're the best in your high school, but you're going to be playing with a bunch of women.
Yeah, it's a different story when you get to that next level.
You're 5'4". Your feet may not touch the floor. You are just a freshman. You've got to put in your, you know.
Yeah.
So I told her all this stuff, right? Like, preparing her. And she comes out the gate. Her very first game, she scores 31 points in her first NCAA debut, which is like just crazy.
She said, "Mom, I don't know what you were worrying about. I got this."
clearly mom knows nothing about basketball. And she's just been killing it.
Well, that's terrific. So for those of you who recognize Nakia's name and voice, you have to have been with us for a long time, because she was a guest way back on episode number 6, which literally is almost 2 years ago today. Can you believe that?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think it was like March 14th.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Since I remember the birth of this podcast.
I know. You were instrumental in getting this fledgling show off the ground. So I thank you, and I'm happy to have you back again. And the reason I wanted to chat with you again is because I've paid attention to what you've been doing. As I said, it's exhausting reading all that you do. And a big part of your branding or marketing approach is public speaking. And we haven't chatted about that too much on The Law Entrepreneur. And so I thought we'd spend a little bit of time doing that. So public speaking is a large part of your approach to marketing and branding your firm. How did that initially get started? How did you, did you stumble upon that? Or was it done with, pre-planning a forethought?
So I'll tell you, I've always been a chatty Cathy.
No way.
Person that loves to talk.
Okay? You and me both.
And, my undergraduate degree is in marketing. So, and even before, you know, so even before I went to law school, I've always kind of had an edge there. And so when I started my practice right out of school, against the advice of everyone, and people said, "No one's going to hire you, girl. You're like, you know, a baby lawyer. No one's going to know even that you're not going to trust you. You don't know anything." And so, I was very successful immediately, in my practice, because I understood branding and marketing. Now, granted, that was, 20, or however many years ago that I got my degree, a long time ago. But, and it's very different in terms of some things, but some things are still the way that they are. And it has not changed a lot. And so what I used to do when I first started was I used to do free in-person workshops to kind of get my name out there in the community. And that was a huge lead generation strategy that I had that worked very, very well. And so although this go around, my practice is totally different because it's technology. There's all of this. So, there was no Facebook back then. Sure. Or if there was, I didn't know about it.
Right.
There's no Facebook. And so it was, I had a lot of very old school offline marketing strategies that contributed to my success on the first go round. And so I didn't completely abandon those things this time around, because even though this is my second bite at this solo practitioner apple, it's almost like the first time, because I'm doing a completely different practice area than what I was known for 8 years. So it was almost like I was new again, because
right.
people didn't know me as a business lawyer or as someone who did trademarks. I was known very much known as a family law practitioner.
Right. So you kept the public speaking, you've kept the workshops.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've kept the public speaking and I've kept the workshops. And because there is social media now, those things can easily turn into additional speaking engagements. So I say to people, anybody can put on a workshop. Like, you don't have to be invited. You just host your own.
Yeah.
And so when you host your own, people view you as the authority on that topic or whatever that practice area is. So then they start to bring you in for additional, then you start getting the additional ones.
Well, and let's talk about those workshops then just for a second. Where do you do them? Do you do them in a public space? Do you do them in your office? And then how do you promote them?
So there's several kinds of workshops that you can do. You can do online, which I strongly recommend people start with. And here's why. It's free.
Yeah.
And if nobody comes, nobody knows, okay?
Right.
So if you do your own webinar or your own Facebook Live or your own, however you want to structure it, it's a very low entry point, because we all have a computer, they all have a microphone, and they all have a camera built in. So you could say that you could put on your Facebook page today, next week, I'm going to talk about, father's rights if you're in family law, or what the new tax, whatever the new tax law is that Donald Trump has signed, or whatever, here's what you need to do before you hire employees if you're in employment, whatever your practice area is, right? And so what I say to a lot of attorneys, because we tend to overthink things, is like, don't make it overcomplicated. What is a question that people ask you all the time? What is a great topic for a blog post? And just make that a workshop. And so you show up, you deliver the information, you take questions, and now people think, oh, well, Nakia clearly knows whatever this topic of law is. And then the next thing, you start getting people that will ask you to come and speak at their event or in front of their audience and that kind of thing. So that's the first thing, is that you don't have to wait for the invitation. Create your own. And you can do that online. Or now I have an office space in Largo. It's a shared office space that has lots of conference rooms and training rooms. So I hold some here. Back in the day, back in 2007, when I first started, I would go to the local library.
Right.
They were $50. It was $50 back then.
It's still... I think it's 60.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I would do that, and I'd have my mother-in-law would come and she'd check people in and we'd have bagels and juice, and I would give a presentation. And so, and a lot of times what I do with my estate planning is I give two options, because some people want to just log onto their computers from home, and some people want to actually come in and see you, make sure that you're real. So I usually do, and if I do an estate planning workshop, I'll say register to come in or if you want to just do it. I'll do it on Wednesday night and Saturday morning, whichever one works best for you. And I have people that, you know, that sign up for both. And so those are really, they're very, and it's not just estate planning. I wanted to give examples of other practice areas because I could come up with a topic for any practice area. I could tell you how you could do it.
And, you know, one of the things that I think a limiting belief that we as attorneys often have is that it has to be something of length. It has to be accurate. Let's not diminish that point. But it doesn't have to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be long. You know, a 15-minute workshop, 20-minute workshop is probably preferable to an hour Facebook Live event.
Exactly.
And so you can do these things, as you were saying, in little bite-sized pieces and snapshots, you know, get something out there quickly without having to commit a whole lot of time and resources.
Exactly. And it helps you to see, you know, I'll say I did in December. I don't know if you caught this. In December, I did, leading up to Christmas, 12 days of trademarks. And I did a series. Now, that was easily an hour workshop. But does anybody want to sign up to sit for an hour and hear about trademarks? Probably not. But if I do 10 minutes a day, I did that for 12 consecutive days. 10 minutes, I'm hopping on Facebook Live. I'm going to give you a trademark tip. And that has turned into an amazing miniature crash course on trademarks that I am getting ready to start selling. But so many people were tuned in every day, or they binge watch. You know, I'm like the Netflix. They binge watch.
Yeah.
And even now, they binge watch all of those. But it was small. It was very, it was not anything that had to be, you know, totally elaborate. But what I did was, when I go back, and even now, because it still runs, and so people still watch it, I read the comments. And I see the additional questions that people have. And that helps me with what needs to come next.
Yep.
What's the next step? What do people want to know? And so that's why it's better to do a small bit than to do like this whole, you know, hour-long presentation. Like, what is the information that people really want to know? And they'll start asking you questions before you get your introduction out. They're like, because they signed up or they showed up because they have a question that they want you to answer, and they want to make sure that you're going to answer it.
Right. Well, so you're doing this online workshops and webinar type approaches, but I know you also still do live events. You still get up in front of an audience. How often are you doing that?
I try to do, my goal is to do at least two per month. And when I say two per month, I prefer to say that's two times I'm getting in front of someone else's audience, not my audience.
Right.
So I try to get at least two per month. And then my own events, I might do two of those too, but those are a little different because those people are already following me most of the time. They might invite someone else or something like that, but I try to get before a completely new audience twice a month.
And how do you seek those opportunities out?
I don't. They just, because when you do your own, people then ask you. So perfect example. Right. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking at for a title company. They get a lot of questions about trusts and reverse mortgages. And so they asked me, would I come along with a banker who's going to talk about reverse mortgages? And I'm going to come and talk about the difference between a will and a trust. So they asked me to come. They're in Upper Marlboro. I'm going to go and I'll speak there tonight.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, You don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. Spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. What are some of the types of audiences that you get in front of? This is a title. You're going with a title company and invited you in this case. What are some of the other types of audiences that have sought out your expertise?
Entrepreneurs, for sure. Because I do business in intellectual property, I do a lot with entrepreneurs. And so I had a week ago, I was a part of a virtual summit for entrepreneurs, because one of the lady who put it together caught my 12 days of trademarks and said, "Oh my God, my audience needs to know this." And so she asked me, she saw my thing, and then she asked me. Another example, I did an online workshop a couple of months ago on estate planning. This lady, she attended, and then she's also in a ministry at a church for single and divorced parents. And she said, "Oh my goodness, they need to know what they need, you know, that they need to name a guardian for their kid.
Yeah.
Can you come speak to my group at church?" Absolutely. So a lot of the ones that I've gotten, which is why I say to people, don't wait for the invitation. The invitation will come when you put yourself out there that you speak on this topic. Always when I speak at my own, somebody sees it or someone tells someone, and then they ask, then I get the other audience by just doing my own.
Now, in some cases, do you have, you know, standard pitches that you do or standard presentations that you've kind of done over and over again, and or are you kind of creating something new each time, or is it a mix of both depending on what you're being asked to deal with?
For the most part, it's my standard ones. I've got a general estate planning. Now I will alter it a little bit for that audience. So for example, I have a general estate planning PowerPoint that honestly is the same one from 2007. Okay.
Yeah.
It's the same one, but I altered it when I did the single and divorced parents. So I spoke a little bit more about that, blended families. I may bring in a topic tonight. I'm going to condense it down to, I'm not going to talk about powers of attorney and advanced directives and all of that stuff that I normally would talk about. I'm going to specifically drill in on that wills versus trust, which one do I need kind of thing. But that's already in my presentation. I'm just going to focus just on that. But so for the most part, my estate planning one is the same. And I've got several for the business side too. And so it's the same thing. I'm not reinventing the wheel.
So how do you prepare for an engagement, you know, one of these live presentations that you're, you know, on the stage, so to speak? You know, at a certain point, it becomes kind of you're on autopilot because you've done it frequently enough. Right. But, you know, for somebody who's starting out, how would you suggest preparing, or what did you do to prepare when you were starting out?
So the first thing is to remember that it's never about the event. It's always about what happens after the event. So you go into your preparation. I'm not preparing to speak tonight. I'm preparing for what I want to happen as a result of me speaking tonight. So that's the first thing. When you sit down to begin preparing, you've got to think about what is it that you, why am I really doing this? It's not to give these people anything tonight. It's so that they book a time with me and that they buy a will or a trust.
Yeah.
that's really why I'm going.
That's a mind shift orientation for sure.
That's a mind shift. So it's never about the event. Ever, ever, ever. It's never about the event. It's always about what do I want to happen as a result of the event. So when you approach your preparation with that in mind, you get things in place. So for me, if it's an event that I'm doing, I need to capture their contact information so that I can follow up with them. That's one thing. So I want to make sure that I have a way to do that. If it's online, maybe they registered with their email. If it's in person, they're going to sign in when they get here, or then maybe they RSVP, they have to call to RSVP to reserve a seat. So those are things that help me to be able to follow up with them.
You know, just as a little aside there, one of the things that I have done when I've done engagements or workshops like this, I've taken to using Evite.
Yes.
And because it allows me to capture all that information and continue to communicate with prospective clients prior to the event. So
exactly.
So for those of our listeners, you don't have to reinvent something. You can use tools that are available on, you know, readily available, and that you probably already use in social settings. So that's just an aside.
Yeah, and along those lines, I use Eventbrite. So same thing. It's just Eventbrite is you know,
same thing only different, as my mother would say.
Same thing only different. If you were paying, if there was a payment option, Eventbrite would be able to handle that. But the same thing. So exactly. So you use something like that. You prepare your presentation, your slides, and really my slides stay the same. The only thing that changes is the front, which I change the date or the name of the group or whoever's thing it's at. So you have your slides. And then one thing that I'm doing a little different, and tonight will be the first time that I do this. I have, I normally have handouts, and this time I've gotten some folders made, some firm folders. So I'm going to have those handouts in the folder in my cart with my card. So that's something that's a little different that I haven't done in the past. Normally, I would gather their information or they hand out cards. But this time, they can literally leave with a folder with my firm branded on it.
You know, I had spoke to somebody at ABA Tech Show about this very subject, and he was saying that he does the same thing, has a folder with some handout material, but he made a point to say, don't hand it out till the very end.
Yes.
Because if you hand it to them on the way in, they're going to be reading it and dealing with it and not listening to what you're saying.
Exactly.
I thought that was kind of an interesting point.
Very true. So what I usually do, before tonight, is at the end on my last slide, I have an opt-in set up for them to text slides to, and I make up a new one for everyone. So tonight it's choice settlement group. So I would say text choice to 44222, which is my text identifier, and you will get these handouts. And so people pull out their phones and do it right there. So now I've captured their email and I'm able to put them in a sequence where I will follow up with them. But tonight I am going to do it a little differently and give them a folder. So we'll see, you know, that's something that I'm trying for the first time, but usually I have, there is some follow-up method. The other thing that I do is I always make some type of offer that is time sensitive so that people can make a decision. So I will offer I have a special price on these for people that I only do at speaking engagements. You will never see it advertised any place. It's only for the people who attended tonight. And you've got, if you book your appointment within X number of days, or you put down a deposit today to reserve your time, then you can get a discount.
Yep.
And that works like a charm. Works like a charm.
So what other tools are you using? I mean, you talk about Eventbrite as the invitation manager, and you're using, I guess, PowerPoint or Keynote for your slide presentations. Anything else that comes to mind that our listeners might want to be aware of?
Sure. So I use for my landing pages and my thank you pages, and for delivery of those, any type of free materials that I give to people, I use something called Lead Pages.
Sure.
And Lead Pages is who I have the tech. It works great with the text capability, because people are more likely to have their phone right there with them. So that works great for speaking engagements. I also use that a little bit on Instagram, because, you know, Instagram doesn't let you click, put a link that's clickable. So I could say to people, hey, I just made this, trademark cheat sheet. If you want to get it, text cheat sheet to 44222 and it'll be delivered to you. So I use Lead Pages. And then for my email management, I use a system called Drip, which is owned by the same people who made Lead Pages. And it's very, it's kind of like, I'm sure you've heard of Infusionsoft.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's like Infusionsoft for dummies.
did you say that's called Drip?
DRIP.co is their website. And so it does. It has all the bells and whistles. Infusionsoft just scared the crap out of me, and I'm a techie person. So if I couldn't get it, it's just too robust. But Drip does all the same thing. So you have the ability to tag people. You can do automation. It does all kinds of sequences. It monitors behaviors. It does all of these things for marketing purposes. Yeah.
We have an upcoming episode where we're going to talk about email management systems such as Drip, such as Infusionsoft, Aweber, MailChimp, all the summary.
There with all of those. Exactly. Yeah. And so I use that. That's how I deliver my email newsletters. That's how, when people purchase digital products from me, they go through there. There's a little piece of code on my website that captures people's information if they go to my website through Drip. So now I can target them that way. You know, it does all these things, but it's very user friendly. You don't need to hire someone to do it for you.
I was just going to say, are you building all that out yourself, or are you having somebody else do that for you?
I have a virtual staff, an online business manager who manages a lot of my online stuff, but I could totally, if she fell sick, I could totally do it myself.
Okay. So you're overseeing it and helping design it, but actual physical fingers on the keyboard, somebody else is supporting
you. Exactly. Someone else is doing that. Yeah. But it's
super
easy. Yeah. It's very, very easy.
So based on all this experience, what do you think is the key to giving a killer presentation? I mean, I know we want to be ourselves and not worry about it being perfect, but everybody wants their audience to walk away saying, wow, that was great. What do you think is key to helping to create that result?
It's being conversational. You have to be able to connect with your audience in a way that's authentic. So the real you should show up. So if someone comes tonight to this presentation, and then they run into me, you know, at Starbucks next week, they should feel like it's the same person.
You know, I'm so happy you said that. We didn't talk about this. This is not a setup, but I got to tell you, I think that is the key thing about you as a presenter. I don't think you're any different on stage, in the supermarket, you know, online. There's a consistency and a realness to your approach to communicating that comes out. It's just natural, and I think people connect with that.
And you know why it's so important? It's important for all business owners, but more so for lawyers. Because there's already a sense of anxiety that the public has, because they think we're like super duper smart and they're already kind of a little guarded.
Or super duper fake.
So we have to overcome that stereotype like immediately and let people know that we are an expert in whatever our practice area is, but we are human. And so one of the things that has worked very well for me is showing up just as who I am. And people say all the time, it's so hard to believe you're a lawyer, because lawyers are usually not, you know, they use these really big words and they, but if you use their language and really explain things, get rid of all the acronyms and the ERISAs and all the stuff that means nothing to anyone but us.
All the jargon.
All the jargon, and just show people who we really are and what we can do. You know, what's the solution that we have to the problem that they have? That's all you got to do.
Well, listen, I'm going to wrap this up here. It's a delight talking with you one more time. And I'm going to ask you this final question. What is your pie in the sky? Someday I hope I may have the opportunity to killer speaking gig. If that gig came through today, what would be, the thing that would make you say, okay, now I've got it. Now I can rest.
That's a tough one, because there are so many events that I would love to be on the lineup for.
Because I know you've spoken at bar association meetings, you've spoken at paid conferences.
Yes.
Have you done a TED Talk?
Not really, and that was going to be what I was going
to
say.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
But I did, close to that was a TED-style talk that I did for the Maryland State Bar solo day a couple of years ago. So if I had the opportunity to give a TED talk on any topic, I mean, it could be about, a legal issue, or even just being the manager of a law firm. And really, I consider myself to be a modern lawyer. So something along those lines would be huge. If I were invited, even the ABA, I've never spoken anything with the ABA. I've had people say, oh, I'm going to put you in touch with someone because they, this would be great. That would be really good. But I've never actually gotten there. So that would be big for me.
Yeah. As I said, I just came back from the ABA Tech Show, which is this past Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It was my first time going. And what was interesting was a lot of former guests from the podcast were presenters at that tech show, or just roaming around the floor, which was great. I didn't realize that they accept, unsolicited proposals for panels.
Yeah.
So yeah. Maybe that's the approach.
It is. But I will say that I have spent the last 2 years becoming a local hero, so to speak.
Sure.
So I really have spent a lot of time doing a lot of free speaking with the DC Bar and the Maryland State Bar for that reason. So when I do submit something to the ABA, I'm not, they don't have to say, well, who are you?
Yeah.
You're in Maryland, and the Maryland State Bar has never had you. So I can say, look, here are 15 times that the Maryland State Bar has had me speak on this topic. So I am an expert in this. And so I really understand that, remember how I said earlier, it's never about the event, but it's after.
Yeah.
So that's a part of that, is that if I want that bigger stage, I want that ABA, I want that TED Talk, I've got to be willing to speak for the Prince George's County Bar Association, for the Montgomery County Bar Association, for the Maryland State Bar, for the DC Bar, for the Women's Bar, the local ones that are right here, before I can say, hey, ABA, bring me in.
Sure. Well, I think you're well on your way, and I plan to be there when you are.
Thank you so much.
Nakia, tell our audience a little bit about how they can reach out to you if they want to follow up, how they can see what you're doing and be connected with you and get exhausted from watching all that you do, the same as I am.
Absolutely. So I am online at NakiaGray.com. My firm is Gray Legal PC. And so you can go to GrayLegalPC.com or NakiaGray.com if you just want to connect with me. I am on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nakia Gray ESQ. And so you can find me there and reach out, tell me, and I'll tell you, even to this day, as soon as within the last 30 days, people reach out to me that are still hearing episode 6, by the way. So yeah. People, yes. In fact, my paralegal who I hired in October, she said, you know what? Your voice sounds so familiar. Were you ever on the Lawyer Entrepreneur podcast? And she knew, you know, so people are listening to you and they are finding through you. I just wanted to tell you that. Well,
fortunately, that is the case. Our audience continues to grow. I continue to enjoy doing this, and it's because of people like you that make it kind of easy. So once again, Nikki, I want to thank you ever so much for being on the Law Entrepreneur, and I can't wait to have you back again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through the Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.